Our Declaration of Independence explains why we became a nation some 250 years ago. It says God has endowed us with our rights, and one of government's duties is to not interfere with those rights. And of course, the first right listed is the right to life. But in this country, the abortion ethic has undermined the right to life in the last 5 decades. And today there are some politicians and their allies in the media who view abortion as among the most sacred of rights, not the right to life, which is in the Declaration of Independence, but actually the right to abortion. Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, is an organization that opposes the abortion agenda. Evie Osment Davis is the Vice President of Communications for Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back to the program, Emily. Emily, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate that.
Jerry, thank you for having me here to discuss this very important topic.
Sure. And before we get into today's politicians on the left and so forth, how about just a quick comment about the fact that, hey, America was founded on the principles we see articulated in the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from God, and the first one listed is the right to life.
Absolutely. I mean, these are inalienable rights. And one of the things that as pro-lifers we recognize is that the child, the baby in the womb, is also extended that right alongside their mother, their father, their grandparents. We all have that beautiful right to life. And that's what we're fighting for every day at Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America.
Okay, recently we saw the situation where Vice President Kamala Harris apparently was the first person as a president or vice president to actually visit an abortion facility. And of course, she was very proud of the work they do there.
Right. Unfortunately, this was a historical event in a negative sense. She was the very first vice president to go to a Planned Parenthood, an abortion facility. And honestly, it's just sickening when you think about the fact that just a few decades ago, you know, in the 90s, Democrats used to say abortions are always tragic. Abortions should be safe, legal, rare. But what we see today is you've got a president and vice president who have now endeavored on an Abortions Around America tour because that's the political campaign and platform that they want to run on. And so I just think about VP Harris there in the Planned Parenthood and what goes on there. It's supposed to, according to even their standards, be tragic, and yet she is over there celebrating the ending of lives of not only children, but I would argue mothers who are there taking this really drastic move.
You know, one of the things about the whole abortion debate is that abortion is just a word. And if somebody claims, okay, I, you know, personally am opposed to abortion, but I don't think, you know, we should interfere with that, which is another way of saying, well, okay, there's certainly pro-abortion rights. But here's the deal. Do you actually know what an abortion is and what it does? And of course, there's different types of abortions, but those that support abortion should know what actually goes on there. So I wrote a column about this recent story about Vice President Harris. And one of the things I sought different commentaries from different people. And one of the points that some of them made is, okay, at that clinic, are they going to show her what they actually do to, you know, extract that developing baby and basically tear him or her apart or, you know, whatever to kill that baby? If you support abortion, then at least know what you're supporting as far as what they actually do to terminate these babies' lives.
Yeah, Jerry, this has been the most baffling for me because we have so much science that we can point to now, even more than 1973 when Roe came down. I just think about the advancement of ultrasound technology. I mean, we see that that is one of the main things that when a woman sees that ultrasound, she changes her mind because she sees her child, she sees the development. But you've got Vice President Harris who's just closing her eyes and President Biden who's just closing his eyes so that not only, you know, the right to life for the baby in the womb, but the scientific reality of the development of the child. But that isn't surprising to me because they're biggest donors are the abortion industry. Abortion is a big business for Democrats. And one prominent Democrat group just recently pledged to spend at least $140 million this year to defeat pro-life candidates. So it is certainly a business, and it is one that is heavily supporting both Biden, Harris, and the Democratic Party.
You know, in previous times, that would have seemed like, okay, well, they can, you know, support all they want to. We have the people, and as long as we mobilize the people, people can be, you know, they'll get out there and vote pro-life a lot. But lately, and I guess it's basically since the Dobbs decision overturned Roe was from 1973, Dobbs was from 2022. There have been different ballots, and they've not gone the way of the pro-life side. And in fact, just recently, there was a candidate for the U.S. Congress in Alabama, in a seat that had been solidly red, and she managed to flip it by being pro-abortion as opposed to her candidate. So that's a disturbing trend on the horizon, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing is a very clear playbook that they continue to deploy over and over again, and that is focus entirely, spend almost all of the money on abortion, but not just abortion fear-mongering. What they're doing is they're going into pro-life states and they're saying to women, look, if you vote for a pro-life candidate, then your life, if you get pregnant in this state, then you could die or they will control you. Think about that message. That is a crazy message to be delivering to women just to try and claw back votes. When we know, according to the study from last year, that the majority of women who had abortions said that they didn't even want their abortion, that it was they were either forced, coerced, or it was inconsistent with their values. And as someone who I've had two unplanned pregnancies by 22, and I just think to myself, gosh, if I only heard this message from Democratic candidates, or my president and vice president, that, hey, look, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to succeed in life. You're not going to be able to survive. You may even die if you get pregnant. I mean, this is a fear-mongering message that they're just rinse and repeat and delivering to women across this country. And sadly, it is working with some women. That's why we have to aggressively educate. That's why at Susan B. Anthony, we've put forward medical education. So that way you have these medical boards in states that can educate doctors so the doctors don't feel like they don't know what to do under these new laws. And all 24 states that have pro-life laws in place now for pregnant women, they can access various treatments in life-threatening situations or emergencies. And all of those 24 states do have abortion as an option if her life is at risk, but it is not the only option, and we have to be very clear about that.
Can you clarify more what you're talking about when you said in your own life you were faced with two crisis pregnancies and you easily could have gone the way of abortion and you didn't, and you're grateful that you didn't. Is that right?
That's right. You know, I am not going to lie. I actually considered it because these were two very difficult situations, but I am really thankful that I had a pregnancy resource center that I could lean on. I have an open adoption with my son. I got to make a plan. I picked out his parents, and he turned 18 this year. And for my daughter, I was able to get resources to help raise her. And now I'm remarried, and I'm married to a wonderful man, and my daughter is doing great. But I just can't imagine at the most vulnerable points in my life when I felt that I had just messed up so badly to hear this horrible message from our president and vice president that either A, I'm going to die because pregnancy is too hard now for women, or, you know, it might be a life-threatening situation if I don't have abortion, and or I'm not going to be able to make it in a career, you know, be successful or be able to move on with my life. And that is not true. That is absolutely false. There are pregnancy resource centers across this country that the Democrats are actively trying to defund and to not help and to strip across this country. But they are there and they offer free services, a variety of financial and physical resources to mothers and housing. So we have got to lift them up and help them out.
I saw a statement from an OBGYN. It wasn't Dr. Scott, but she's definitely pro-life, this other person. And she had said, I am familiar with many different situations where there are women who went the route you did And unfortunately, that might be more the minority. In other words, they chose to give the baby life, you know, when dealing with a crisis pregnancy center versus those who went ahead and had abortion. And she said, I've never once met someone who chose to give the baby life that regretted that decision. In contrast, I've met many, many women who did regret their abortions.
That's exactly what I see as well, Jerry. You know, I mean, my own story, but also friends that I have, women that we talk to every week. I have never talked to someone at a pregnancy resource center that has regretted her decision, you know, working with them and keeping her child. We have just got to get this message out there. I'll tell you from firsthand experience, I work with the media every day, and I try to put them in contact with women who have these stories. They don't want to talk to them. I mean, they actively try not to talk to them, to put them in their stories. It is incredibly difficult. They do not want to educate on what's going on across the country. I mean, there is an active gatekeeping of information from the American people. So that's why we are doing all that we can. I'm so thankful for programs like yours so we can get this information out to women and to not peddle this fear-mongering that the Biden administration is doing, but rather a message of hope, a message of life, and resources for mom and baby.
Okay, suppose there was a candidate, and this person was pro-life, and they reached out to you, and they said, okay, my opponent is pro-abortion rights, and they're going to make it out like I'm, you know, trying to put women, you know, in the back closet or whatever, and just, you know, go back to, you know, two centuries ago and treat women the bad way and all this kind of stuff. What kind of media training or training for dealing with the hostile media would you, you know, give such a person? Feel free to wax eloquent on this.
Yeah, well, we really encourage candidates to be as clear as possible. So what we're finding right now, unfortunately, is a lot of candidates after Roe was overturned, I mean, that was the goal for 50 years. So now we have a new landscape. So we're encouraging candidates to be very clear. What's happening is a lot of candidates aren't even talking about it. And that's not going to fly in America today. People want to know where you stand on this, you know, whether you're pro-life or what does it even mean to be pro-life, and explaining that. One thing I find that's really important is we have the vast majority of Americans who support pregnancy resource centers. So it is highly important that if you're a pro-life candidate, that you go visit a pregnancy resource center. You see with your own eyes the work and the help that is needed. And you talk about that with people because over 80% of Americans support pregnancy centers. So they're going to want to hear about this. You also need to talk about what the accurate portrayal of abortion in America is. This is not women jumping to get abortions or feeling empowered by abortions. Like I said earlier, these are women who are in vulnerable situations who want either some type of financial or physical help, and they're not getting it. We have got to be able to come alongside them and say, we hear you, we see you. I think a lot of times Americans think that this the landscape of abortion in America is a woman at college who is just jumping at the opportunity to get an abortion. That is not the case in the majority of cases. And then what Democrats and the media have done since Roe was overturned, since the Dobbs decision happened, was basically to say these less than 1% of cases that happen, these emergency life of the mother situations, that is, they painted it to be like every single situation in America. And that is patently false. You can look at the data and very easily see that less than 1% of cases in America are for life of the mother in these emergency cases. So we've got to be very clear about that. But if you're a pro-life candidate, you need to be very clear on where you stand. You cannot run from this issue and deploy an ostrich strategy of not talking about abortion. People want to know where you stand.
And if they say something like, this is what I think. If it's the life of the mother, then, you know, that's an exception, and maybe even rape and incest. I mean, that's what some would say. We only have 10 seconds left. SBAProLife.org for more information. I guess your website would answer those questions, correct?
That's right. Everyone, I encourage you to go to SBAProLife.org if you want to get involved. This is an election year for canvassing and all the other information you can find.
All right. Emily, thanks so much. All the best.
Thank you.